And so to begin asking people the hard questions that would lead to growth, you know, questions around accountability, you think, man, I'm just not going to go there because I want these people to come back because they're tithing here. And that allows us to keep the lights on. And the surprise thing that pastors find out when they really get serious about making disciples that make disciples is that people actually respond very well. I mean, you're going to get people who God is already working on in their lives, people who are actually really do want to grow deeper. And then that leads to people who want to share and who want to serve, not just in the church, but their community.
We read in Matthew 24, Jesus' words, that this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations. But Jesus needs you as a Christian to become equipped for this work. Welcome to the Catalytic Podcast, a ministry resource of 1-8 Catalyst. This podcast exists to give you practical and easy-to-remember tools toward spiritual growth that leads to Great Commission fulfillment. We'll also have interesting interviews of people who have walked the journey towards Great Commission fulfillment, and we'll be able to hear their stories. And now it's time for the Catalytic Podcast.
Well, hello, friends. Hey, Mike Falkenstein here with 1-8 Catalyst, and I want to be the first one to welcome you to this, the latest episode of the Catalytic Show. Also on the podcast side, we call this the Catalytic Podcast. And I'm so glad that you're with us and so glad that you've decided to join us. Hey, as you join us, be sure to subscribe to this YouTube channel. As you watch this episode, be sure to subscribe, share this with your friends. We would sure love to have you with us in that way as well. To find out more about 1-8 Catalyst, of course, go to our website at 1-8catalyst.org, and it'd be great to, we got all kinds of stuff over there, including a link to our new online training portal that we like to call equippingdepot.org, and all kinds of new material over there all the time, training courses, video training courses, a catalog of our book resources, on and on, online sheets, worksheets that we have over there. And so, be sure to go over to our website. So in this episode of the Catalytic Show, I'm going through, this is actually the second episode, I'm kind of going through chapter by chapter of my book, Being and Making Disciples in the Western Church. This book, you can actually go through it with us as you watch these podcast episodes. The book is available on our website. If you actually want the ebook version, it's available actually for free on our website. The paperback, like these guys, are available on Amazon.com for $5 each. And it's a great book. Of course, you know, I'm the author, so I'm gonna say that, but I really do think it's a good book. So it's good enough that, you know, as I meet with people about our ministry and I talk about our ministry of creating resources and delivering training that helps Christians grow spiritually, kind of this idea that Christians that are growing spiritually want to reach their world for Christ, you're getting three things from me. So you're going to get our brochure. You're going to get our 50 Commands of Jesus bookmark Bible study or Bible study bookmark. And then you're going to get a copy of this guy. And you're going to get a copy of this guy because I wrote it in the summer of 2021 with an eye for, hey, if you want to know really what 1-8 Catalyst Ministry is, does, wants to do, feels like God has called us to do, much of it between the brochure and this guy is that really is going to be a good start. So be sure to pick up a copy. It takes most people about an hour or two to be able to actually go through it. And so It's been a good resource for us. So anyway, so last week on the podcast, I just kind of went through the basics of why is it important for us to be and make disciples in our local churches. And so today I'm going to talk about the contents of chapter one of this book, which really is just called On Being a Church That Makes Disciples. And, you know, in our pursuit to be and make disciples, obviously what is happening at the local church level is super important. And so, next week's episode, we're going to talk about personally what it looks like to be a disciple of Jesus. And so I always start, though, with the church, mainly because of the church's influence in people's lives and the opportunity that we have, that church leaders have to really have an impact in the lives of people. And, you know, as I've read and studied the biblical purpose of the local church, you know, I've seen a lot of gaps between what a lot of churches were doing and what I read biblically in terms of the purpose of the local church. And so, you know, you probably think as you hear me talk about our ministry and kind of our core themes, of course, I'm always and often talking about these commands that Jesus gives to his followers. I wish I had a copy here, but we have a bookmark that actually you can go onto the website as well, and you can pick up a copy of the online PDF of the 50 Commands of Jesus Bible study. But these commands are important because, of course, Jesus is giving the 50 commands to his followers, and then he follows those commands up with passages like John 14:21, whoever has my commands and obeys them, he it is that loves me. And so obviously in our churches then, you know, to really be a biblical church, we want to be doing the things that Jesus is commanding us to do. Two of those that we focus on a lot are Matthew 28 passage, of course, the most famous passage of the Great Commission, where Jesus commands us to go and make disciples, and then Mark 16:15, where he commands us to proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. So obviously, to be a biblical church, to be a church that's really doing what God is asking it to do, obviously we want to be doing those two things well, because they're direct commands that Jesus gives to his followers. So in this process of being and making disciples in the Western church and teaching people about it, I've developed a definition of the biblical purpose of the local church. And if you actually pick up a copy of this book, I go into more detail about where in the Bible I formulate this definition of the biblical purpose of the local church. But you can see on the screen here, for those that are watching it on YouTube, that the biblical purpose of the local church is to glorify God by doing four things, right? Worshiping him, edifying his people, proclaiming the gospel of Jesus to the whole world, and making disciples through the baptizing and teaching of new believers. And so those of you that know your Bible well can kind of pick up a lot already of kind of where I've come up with that. And so I encourage church leaders then, like, if that's a good definition of the biblical purpose of the local church, then to begin to kind of map your ministry and the things that you're doing around that definition, right? Glorify God by worshiping him. Of course, most churches are doing that through their Sunday morning experience, and sometimes there are other prayer and worship services that a church will have, you know, by edifying his people. That really just, that word edifying really just means equipping. And so much more to be said about that. But by proclaiming the gospel of Jesus to the whole world and making disciples through the baptizing and teaching of new believers. So I focused today on helping church leaders that are watching this episode to do that well, to really be fulfilling that biblical purpose of the local church. And, you know, about a year and a half, maybe 2 years ago, there's a kind of a collective organization called discipleship.org. So it's a bunch of organizations that have come together who have a heart for discipleship and disciple making. And they did a study and they found out that only about 5% of our churches in the West, meaning I always kind of say in North America, maybe more appropriately, have a reproducible disciple making strategy, which brings up all kinds of questions in my mind, right? If the Jesus himself is calling us to make disciples, but only 5% of our churches are actually doing it, that brings up some questions, right? So as I've done some research on that, I've come up with four reasons, I think, that only 5% of our churches in North America have a reproducible disciple-making strategy, despite the fact that Jesus himself is calling us to make disciples. So I think the number one reason that that most churches, we'd have to say 95% of our churches are really not making disciples, is that many pastors and elders were not discipled themselves. And this is actually a really important, thing that I've discovered, right? So many of you know the defining passage on disciple making, which is 2 Timothy 2:2, right? Paul writing to the young Timothy saying, "What you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." And so kind of hard baked into this idea of making disciples is this idea that you really, so Paul is telling Timothy, the things I've told you, entrust to reliable men who will be able to teach other also. So we see kind of four spiritual generations of people who are involved in this process. And so if the pastors themselves were never discipled, it's hard for them to make disciples themselves. So actually in our ministry, and I've got kind of a whole, we have a growing book catalog. We won't talk much about it, but last October, I released this book called Now You Can Make Disciples, which is a step-by-step guide on how to do the process. So I guess first, if, pastors, if you've never made disciples, we actually have a really good resource here that kind of takes you through literally from, okay, what kind of people do you want to begin discipling? How do you ask them to start that process? What do those meetings look like? What are the, what are the topics that you'll study? So forth and so on. But, so we want to meet you at your point of need there. I think the other disconnect in terms of this first point that many pastors and elders were not discipled themselves is I did, when I was writing my book, Being and Making Disciples in the Western Church, I did a really simple Google search on, I think that what I searched was things I wished they would have taught me in seminary. And it was really an interesting look between the difference between, what pastors ended up learning in seminary and the things that they really needed to be able to effectively pastor a church. And in some ways, there's some kind of disconnect there. This is not to say, by the way, that seminary is not a good thing. I mention in every resource where I mention seminary that it's a valuable resource, right? It's a good thing for pastors to be doing. But you know, there have been books written. There's a book by James White, the senior pastor of a church in North Carolina, called What They Didn't Teach Me in Seminary. You know, just a simple list here. Let me look at this. On the Google search that I did, there were topics like never taught me in seminary about church finances, never taught how to balance my marriage and my ministry. And actually in last week's episode, we talked about that in some ways in terms of the how poorly marriages of pastors are doing, I think just because of the stresses and whatnot, right? Never taught me how to deal with sexual improprieties amongst church staff and how to handle the aftermath, how most people in my congregations wouldn't care about theology. And one of the other main things on that list is they never really taught me in seminary how to help someone grow spiritually, right? How to take someone from kind of a baby Christian on the spiritual milk to someone that's actually on, you know, solid food, you know, doing much better. And so I make this list, by the way, as a side note, because we want to come alongside both Christians and help them grow spiritually and churches. The only reason that I have a list like this is then that helps us at 1-8 Catalyst to be able to go, okay, that's a point of need. And obviously something like a lot of people in our churches don't know how to make disciples. So let's make a step-by-step guide on actually how to begin disciple making, right? So number two on the list is that many elders and pastors think they're doing a good job at disciple making. And I thought that was really interesting. It's sort of like this, version of there's a effect called the Dunning-Kruger effect, which is a kind of cognitive bias where people who feel like they've done a good job, really they cannot see why they did not do a very good job. And you know, there's, you know, again, because only 5% of our churches are actually have a reproducible disciple making strategy, I think if you were to ask most pastors, they would say that they're doing a good job. But really, then you look at the effects and 95% of our churches are not actually making disciples. And so the study that I mentioned, the discipleship.org study, they did a little bit more research. They found out that the average pastor surveyed reported 12.5 commitments to Christ over the last year in their per 100 people, and yet half of those pastors indicated that their church saw no church growth. And so that's another example of, well, you'd have to ask the question, okay, if you've got 12 commitments to Christ, but the church isn't growing, where are those people going? You think you'd at least be growing by 12 people per 100 every year. And there's a lot to be said about that. I think that part of the issue here, quite frankly, is that that because the pastors are thinking they're doing a good job, they're not looking for solutions on actually how to be helping people grow spiritually. You know, one of the things that I always recommend church leaders to be doing is, like, if you're going to do almost nothing else in terms of equipping your people, make sure that they know how to share the gospel and how to share their testimony, and have regular classes on how to do that. And yet, research indicates that only 10% of North American churches have regular training sessions for their people on how to share the gospel and how to share their testimony. And so, again, with these commands that we have for that Jesus gives us to proclaim the gospel and make disciples, if I were a church leader, I would make sure that everyone in my congregation would know how to do that. So One of the tools that we have, I mentioned our online training portal at equippingdepot.org, and we actually have two online video training courses. One is a simple course on how to make, how to share your testimony. The other one is how to share the gospel using it's a fairly new tool for me called the Three Circles way of sharing the gospel. As an old-time navigator, you know, I've always been a bridge illustration guy, but I find that the Three Circles is just a little bit easier. And so for people that are new at it, it's a great, you know, it's a great first step to be able to do it. So number three on the list in terms of why only 5% of our churches in North America have a reproducible disciple-making strategy is that many church leaders see discipleship as a program, right? They see discipleship as a class. Take our discipleship class, you'll see in a lot of churches. And I mentioned 2 Timothy 2:2, and from 2 Timothy 2:2, I've developed this from years ago, a definition of discipleship, which is that discipleship is a process by which an individual who has been won to Christ commits himself over an extended period of time to a few individuals who have been won to Christ, the purpose being to aid and guide their growth and maturity, and for them to invest their lives in a third spiritual generation. And so just by kind of the definition of discipleship, it really can't be a program, because discipleship requires life on life, right? So even in my book, I have in the back of the book 24 topics that, let's say I'm discipling someone, I have 24 key topics that I want them to know, to understand, and to begin to implement into their lives. And there's just no class that you're going to take 24 weeks to be able to go through that, much less the process of discipleship includes, you know, when I mention life on life, I'm really talking about, okay, so you're beginning to disciple someone and they are dealing with some kind of a big sin issue. Well, that might take 6 months to really find victory as they surrender that to Christ, right? They've got pornography, they've got, you know, some other big issue of some kind. And so again, just by what disciple making and discipleship is, you know, it can't be a program. And so church pastor, if you're seeing it as a program, it really can't be. But what you can do as a very first step in your church, just begin to make it a priority in your staff, the way that you do your programs, so forth and so on, to go, hey, listen, from now on, what we do here is make disciples that make disciples. And so this means that if I, as a leader, see someone in the congregation, let's say there's a man named Charlie. I always use Charlie as an example, right? I'm going to be asking him this kind of question. So you see Charlie, and because we make disciples that make disciples here, I begin to ask him, the very first thing I ask him when I see him on Sunday morning, so Charlie, what are you learning lately from God's word? Charlie, what are you doing in your prayer life? How's your prayer life going? And these very first simple steps, I mean, you can imagine as a church leader / pastor, if Charlie knows that I'm going to be asking him every week. Now, we're going to be talking about a lot of other things, right? We may be talking about our local NFL team and the weather and whatever. But the very first thing I want to know is, Charlie, it is so important for you to be spending regular time in God's word. And something like that can just make a really good, you know, first step. And then you've got your classes that I mentioned. You're doing regular evangelism. The expectation at your church is that, hey, because Jesus himself has called us to go proclaim the gospel, I'm going to make sure everyone here is proclaiming the gospel. Because, you know, to proclaim the gospel, a lot I could say here, but to be able to confidently share the gospel, you actually have to believe it yourself first, right? You have to actually believe it first. And once you've actually internalized it, then you're going to share it. And you can, you want people in your churches that just kind of have this regular habit of, you know, as we read in 1 Peter 3, to be sharing the reason for the hope that is in them. So finally, on my list of reasons that only 5% of our churches are have a reproducible disciple-making strategy is simply that really it is true that making disciples is hard and it may drive people away. So some of you may have heard of a colleague of mine, Todd Wagner, and he wrote a book that I'll highly recommend actually on the YouTube channel. I'll actually put a link in the description for his book called Come and See Everything You Wanted in the One Place You'd Never Look. And it's really the, I think, kind of the magnum opus of really what I'm talking about here. He does such a great job of kind of laying out what it looks like to be a church that is making disciples that make disciples. You know, he has a fantastic illustration in the book. He states that many of us in North America select our churches kind of like we select, a cruise ship. You know, he writes, whether consciously or otherwise, they ask certain questions that reveal their expectations. Do I like the music in the ballroom? Do I like the captain and his staff? Do I get good service? Is it pleasant and comfortable? Do I like the experience enough to sail with them again? And unfortunately, so many people in North America who are selecting churches are looking for these same things. And pastors and elders, you know, I know you know this. And so many times, and I, anything other than let's just look at this truthfully. You know that that's true. And so to begin asking people the hard questions that would lead to growth, you know, questions around accountability, you think, man, I'm just not going to go there because I want these people to come back because they're tithing here. And that allows us to keep the lights on. And the surprise thing that pastors find out when they really get serious about making disciples that make disciples is that people actually respond very well. I mean, you're going to get people who God is already working on in their lives, people who are actually really do want to grow deeper. And then that leads to people who want to share and who want to serve, not just in the church, but their community. And, you know, Todd Wagner until recently was the senior pastor at Watermark Community Church in Dallas, some 30,000 people who attend Watermark over like four campuses. And yet they are super serious about making disciples that make disciples. And so it is definitely possible. So I would highly recommend, again, I've got too many book resources, but for you pastors, if I've touched a nerve, if I've touched an area where you go, man, I want to learn more how to do that. I wrote a book called Keeping Watch Over Souls, The 6 Marks of a Church That Makes Disciples. Again, it's available, in Kindle format and, soft cover on Amazon. You can find it there. And listen, I'll guarantee that it'll help you to become a church that makes disciples that makes disciples. And, you know, as I mentioned last week, I often tell people, or I should say, I always tell pastors, like, you've made a really strong sacrifice and commitment to be a pastor. Why not just go full in on obeying the commands, doing everything that God wants us to be doing in our churches, and seeing him at work in ways that you would have never imagined, And, you know, you might as well just go full bore. I mean, if this is just a job for you, it's probably time for you to potentially go find something else to do. You know, Jesus calls us to proclaim the gospel and make disciples. And he says, whoever has my commands and obeys them, he it is that loves me. And so as we obey the commands in our individual lives and in our churches, excuse me, this is actually how we show Jesus that we love him. So I hope that's an encouragement. I'd sure love to hear from you. Please get in touch with me. Again, if you go to our website at 18catalyst.org, we've got a contact us page. Would sure love to hear from you. Again, I'll remind you again to subscribe to our YouTube channel and click the notifications button to be able to get more content. We're actually just a few subscribers away, actually, from kind of our next milestone. So we'd sure love to have you with us. Thank you so much for joining me. I hope this is a help. And I'll look forward to seeing you on the next episode of the Catalytic Show.
Thank you for joining me for the latest episode of the Catalytic Podcast. For more information, be sure to visit our website at 18catalyst.org. And never forget, the Great Commission is a command that Jesus gave you as a Christian to obey. I'll be praying for you that you find your part in it. See you next time.